Why is it so difficult? Because if we could apply the word, if we could get into the scriptures, we're going to be like a brand new car. Remember the days when you got into a car that actually drove straight? It's like you could take your hands off the steering wheel and it just almost drove itself. That's really, honestly, how I feel my life is as I just walk and live in the grace of the Lord Jesus and knowing of his word. I want that for you. I believe God the Father has that for you. He wants people to know and to experience his kingdom. Matthew 5, 6 very simply says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled." I just hope that our message right now in this time, that you would say, "Ah, I hunger and I thirst for more of what God has for me in his word." Those are the happiest people. Those are the individuals. And so we know we are to love God with everything we have. Mark 12, verse 30 and 31. To love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. So let's give it our best shot. Let's take a look at some things here. Very simple. Three prerequisites to reading the word. Here it is. Three prerequisites. Obvious. Number one, Jesus Christ must be your personal Savior. This is a spiritual book. We recognize and understood how this book came together. It's a phenomenon, unusual, wonderful, and powerful book. But to understand it, because it is a spiritual book, you or I will have to be renewed in our spirit as well. In John 6, verse 63, John 6, 63, Jesus says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." So if we're going to see anything about this, our spirit must come alive. It was Jesus who said so clearly in John 3, 16, "You must be born again of the Spirit." Something happens when that takes place, and we start to read the Bible joyfully. How many of you, when you first received Christ, you could not put the Bible down? You remember those days? Oh, I wanted to know, what is this I am feeling? What is this that God has done? And what more could he possibly have in store for me? Wow, those were great days. That's what we want to continue to cling to and believe. I remember when Ainsley wrote me back a letter describing that she has accepted my proposal for marriage. I literally read that thing 16 times. Did she really mean it? It was amazing. You read and reread, and there's something about that kind of love for God that opens up an interaction, a relationship with him. So why salvation? Why is that so significant? Well, naturally, we all want to go to heaven. No one wants to go to hell, which is very real. But we all want to enjoy eternal life, not eternal death. But one of the things that's significant is that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, go ahead and write that down, 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have now become new." And what happens when that man or that woman or boy and girl receives the Lord? Their spirit comes alive. We are three parts to our body, the Bible says. Body, that's how you know I've walked into the room. Here I am. Our soul, which is our reasoning, our intellect, and our spirit. Our spirit that was dead to because of sin, but then alive when we ask Christ to come in and he removes that sin, our spirits, a breath comes into that person. Wow. And then we start to see the scriptures. That's so significant. That born-again spirit is renewed in an ability to know and to knowledge. I like 1 John 2:20. Write it down, 1 John 2:20. Where it says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." There is something that comes by the Holy Spirit that you just say, that makes sense. I've had so many arguments with unbelievers, but I've settled it with this one. Why don't we just pray for you to receive Christ? And when they do, when they finally say, okay, I'll just go for it now. When they do, it seems like the argument's settled. It seems like there's an anointing, and there is, Scripture says. And they have this understanding. Oh, man, it's amazing. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Write that down. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Well, that's pretty amazing. When we take a look, the spirit man is complete in him. You're complete. Phenomenal. When we take a look at what the Word has to say, that's why Romans chapter 12, verse 2, when it comes along and it says, go ahead and write that down too, Romans 12, 2. When it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, what's it going to profit our physical frame? Not much until the Word of God comes and your soul, your intellect says, we will apply what we're seeing the Word have to say to us. So, let me just put it this way. It's wonderful to come alive. Then all of a sudden, as we are alive spiritually, life just takes its course and our mind starts to indulge in other things. I could be talking to a few Christians right now who really haven't engaged the Bible very often or at all. They're definitely going to heaven. And we know that there's just a battle going on, battleground in our mind. Scripture talks about that, Ephesians 4, 24. There is a battle going on in our minds. And it's important because the body will do what that body is being told to do. That's your soul. That's why when the Spirit comes alive and we start to see the Word of God, it's so important, making Christ your personal Savior. It means everything. So as you read the Word, as you hear the Word, it enters into your soulish mind. And now you're going to have to take advantage of it and say, okay, body, let's engage that. Let's go with that. Your spirit will bear witness. That's the beauty of being born again. Boy, that just sounds right. That's literally, it's like, that sounds right. That's what we need to do. Remember when we were looking at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12? That was last Sunday's approach. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, those two agencies, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it has an ability to just check out everything about us. It's an amazing thing. The benefits, the beauty of being born again. It's a real launch pad. It's the starting place. Number two on your notes, come to the Bible prayerfully and expectantly. Naturally, we're all born again, but wouldn't it be great if you would just view and I would just consider once again, come to the Bible and say, Lord, we are going to approach this, we're going to pray, and I'm going to expect you're going to show me something today. How many times we just close off the book because nothing really transpired from that reading that day, or maybe a whole set of days? Don't let that be a despairing moment for you to cause you to put the book down. Go at it in prayerful patterns and expectantly. Let's check out what James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. It's a considerable portion, but see what he says here, because here Scripture is talking about a person that's going through a trial. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And if you don't know why, ask God. Let's check it out. It says here, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who desires to really to give, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Let me just pause there for a moment. Take a look at those words. Who gives to all liberally and without reproach. That's more of the beauty and the character of God's generosity, who gives to all. He gives to all. And it's not stingy. He's liberal. He's very liberal to all. and he will not reproach you for coming. Oh, Lord, I humbly come to your Bible. I'm just so sorry I haven't been in the scriptures for a whole year. As if you have repentance, you just come to him. Lord, I need you, and I need what your word says. Who gives liberally and without reproach, verse 5 on to 6, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And there's certainly plenty of individuals like that, guessing their way through life, trying. I don't know if you know many people that don't really read the preparation manuals or the manuals of putting something together. They just love to figure it out. It's something in us just to say, I don't want to follow instructions. I'll just put it together. I'll fire this electric fan up. I think I know how this electric phone works. But according to God's word, there's going to be times we need answers. Come to him, it says. God will speak to you through these pages, and expect him to speak to you through these pages. So important. And be careful. A lot of times we should even just have that prayer like Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things from your word. Psalm 119, verse 18. So as we take a look at that, sometimes people will pick up the Bible and they'll just kind of randomly read. Maybe often they'll read the same thing over and over because it means something to them. But the Bible wasn't written like little capstones. Read whole books at a time. If you find something that is meaningful to you, then go ahead and get out a marker or a date with just a word or two that was a meaningful altar moment right there in the Bible. When you come back a year or 2 years later, you say, ah, that was a fantastic read. Mark it and then move on because there's so much more that God has for you. What I like about reading the Bible in the morning, it gives me something that maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit will use, and he'll use you to say, boy, do I have a Bible verse for you. And that's going to be fantastic when you bring that up because you're going to find that somebody else is going to say, I needed to hear that word. How many times have you read the scriptures in a given day? And then within that same setting, same day, next day, somebody's either preaching from that passage or they are saying, let's read from that passage. And you say, that's God. I was just there today. That's how the Holy Spirit works. He's so clever and so capable to do miracles. So get into this miracle book by reading it. So important. One book at a time. And it's so significant. You'll enjoy it. And we'll show you some ways in just a few moments. But boy, it's just wonderful when you read the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. It's how really to relate to God. When you read Proverbs, it's really how to relate to others. So important. I do remember asking a young lady, hey, what did you read today? And she did give me her Bible book that she was reading. In other words, I'm in the book of Colossians. That's always important. If somebody were to come up to you, maybe that should be a good life group question. What book of the Bible are you in today? Oh, Colossians. But she could not remember what she had read. So sometimes just reading quickly, we want to remember something of what we read, and at least bring it about, because God will use it. God never leads us to do anything that's contrary to his word. He does often lead us to do things that agree with his word, so it's a beautiful thing to do. Please consider that. Come prayerfully, come expectantly. God will speak to you. Mark it down. God is not upset that you write on these pages here. He enjoys that his book is engaged and is worked over. Boy, I've got my Bible all marked up. Matter of fact, I just want to tell you, this is really probably my fourth Bible that I've marked up quite considerably. My other two I've set on the shelf. I'm going to give one to my oldest daughter, Emily, another one to my middle child. His name is Luke. And I'm working on this one to give to Holly. One day they might want to say, well, that's the Bible Dad preached from or studied from. Maybe you have something like that going on as well. Let's take a look at number 3. have a hunger to know Jesus like he really is. So receive Christ as your Lord and Savior personally. Come prayerfully and expect God to show you something. And then third, have a hunger to know Jesus. That's important. Maybe that hunger isn't going on right now, but would you just say, Lord, stir a hunger within me. I want to know you. I really want to know you. I don't know what people would view as maybe their top item of life or interest. What are the greatest things in life for you? How about you? If we gathered people in the room, they would probably talk about all kinds of things that are important to them. I remember when I was pastoring in Banning, California. If you're familiar with our freeway system, it's right where the 10 and the 60 meet. It's right where the dinosaurs out in Cabazon. We're way out there, high desert. Boy, the Lord sure brought some informed approaches to life and to know him. In those 15 years, Ainsley, my wife, and I pastored that great church and had a great experience. When I saw that God called John the Baptist out to the desert, I felt better because I felt like that's what God had called me to. But I bring that up because our church was not too far removed from the Morongo Indian Reservation. One of the things that you could see when you talk about what are the great things in life, something about Indian and tribal customs. They have something called a totem or a totem pole. Could always see what they value by seeing figurines on, well, stacked on a totem. For example, if you see an image of a bear, they were as strong as a bear. Or an owl, they're as wise as an owl. Or sly as a fox. You could just say, well, they value those elements of character, bravery and wisdom and an ability to negotiate. You'd say, okay, that's important. What would be on your totem? What would be significant for you? I'm saying, wouldn't it be great that something would be a great value is to hunger to know God, to know Jesus like he really is. And to do that, we have to spend that time in the Word. Let me read 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 14. I hope this helps you with this passage here. It's a considerable read, but follow along with me. But as it is written, verse 9 says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." I just want to say, oftentimes I've heard that expressed at funerals where it's like, well, now they're finally seeing and hearing and experience the things God has prepared for those who love him. But as you go on, verse 10 says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit." You can enjoy what God has about himself for you. God will reveal things to you through his Holy Spirit. Let's go on. "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things," that we might know the things. Now we know the Holy Spirit's a helper. We know he's a comforter. He's a teacher. "That we might know the things," let's go on, "that have been freely given to us by God." Oh, what keeps us back from engaging? Maybe it's my being confused or preoccupied. God has given you things freely. And it goes on, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned or spiritually understood." Boy, here it is, the season of startup of school. Some people really like learning. Holy Spirit will teach you things, but you must be born again. I have taken things from the Word and just presented it in prayer to unbelievers, and it's as if they just don't get it. Don't let that disappoint you. Don't think it's not important to you, because it really is. Remember when Jesus says, be careful about just spreading your pearls out to swine. They're going to trample it. Man, you cherish the thing God gives you or the revelation He shows of Himself to you. So it's important when we take a look at that. I always value what the Apostle Paul really whittled down as the great one thing in his life, and it was to know God. He wanted to know God. That's our point. Have a hunger to know Jesus like He really is. Everything else really just appeared meaningless to him. Let me read Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Let's highlight what he had to express. He says, yet indeed also, I also count all these or all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. That's an amazing thing. When the Apostle Paul wrote that, he had been born again for decades. That wasn't something he just decided. And the rubbish, he was an accomplished man. That guy was well known around the world. He traveled the world. Paul was not a loser. He was not hitting rock bottom as if, okay, I'm just going to like fling it in the air and just kind of go for broke with Jesus. That somehow is what people think. Sometimes Christians are just, well, they're down on their luck, and they just need God to pull them up. Man, no way. The life for him was good till he brought up Christ and the resurrection, but he wanted to know the Lord. And this guy was the most educated man, the most accomplished man in his day, and he wanted to know God. Well, that's a tremendous thing. Seeking to know God. Matter of fact, look what he says in Philippians 3, verse 10. Go ahead and write that down, 3:10 of Philippians. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Paul was saying that the best that life had to offer and the greatest accomplishments in the pursuit of any man when it came to compared to knowing God, it was like manure. It was poo-poo. That's really what it's saying. It was poo-poo. That's nothing to me. I want to know the Lord. What does that say? When this guy basically, by the Holy Spirit, wrote half the New Testament, and he says, I still want to know him. What a desire to approach this book and say, Lord, I'm going at it, not because I need answers. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you. I really want to know you. Would you speak to me in our time together? When the scripture comes along and he says to the church at Ephesus, it's amazing because in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, he says this, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He said something very interesting, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. I look at that and I thought, well, okay, well, how can you know something if it passes knowing it? It's an amazing thing that there's so much to God's love. It's intriguing for. What a statement. When you experience God's love like that, you really are, and he says, he ends it with all the fullness of God. Lord, I want to experience your love. I've heard about it. I've seen it displayed on artwork and the cross. I want to know the fullness of you and your love. May that be something, that's our third point. Approach the Bible saying, I want to really know the Lord. So when we take a look here, it's important because remember we were talking general revelation last time we were together versus special revelation. General revelation is for everybody can take a look at that. That's through creation. It's a beautiful tapestry of God's ability to make things in nature. It's eloquent. People can know there's somebody with a lot of intelligence that made everything. But special revelation, we really won't know anything of God's love without getting into the Word of God. That's where the special revelation comes in. You wouldn't know what I would be thinking if I just stood silent. You would not know unless I opened my mouth and said, this is how I feel and what I would like to say to you. That's the way God is with His Word, through special revelation. We understand how God's love is, His sacrifice, His plan for humanity, His plan for you. It's intriguing. To experience God's fullness is to really enjoy and know how much God loves you, and He really does. It's incredible to sit there and just meditate on how rich and wonderful Almighty God is through His loving Son and giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. I love it when God comes and brings that revelation. When we take a look at Scripture, it's important. Sometimes we might find people really get into trouble. Hosea, in his Old Testament writings, chapter 4, verse 6, he literally says that God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They really miss out on things. They don't really know. It's kind of like that worn out 66 Ford Galaxy with bad suspension, wearing out relationships everywhere, because we don't have the knowledge what God has for us or the way to pursue it, but He wants to show us. And you know, it's interesting because some believers think that the top of the pedestal would be just eternal life. It's good, it's important, it's desirable. That's what God has. That old John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, whosoever that is, should not perish but have everlasting life. But Jesus commented what eternal life is. And that's found in John 17:3. He literally says this. Take a look or write it down so you can look it over. John 17:3, the gospel of. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You've sent. This is eternal life. The goal is eternal life. The goal of eternal life is to know the Father and Son. That is eternal life. That's not just getting some destination, but that's Jesus' words. That's His description. Knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ. Man, that's fantastic. Knowing that God, and that word know, I want to know Him. That really is, in the Bible, it's an intimate word. It's the word that they used that one of the patriarchs in the Old Testament knew his wife and they had this offspring. It's an intimate word. Oh, I want to know Him. I want to know God intimately. How can that ever be? He's like way out there somewhere and I'm here. Here's your destiny right here. Read the Word of God. Knowing Him, so phenomenal. People believe that they need to get saved because that's the message they've heard. But I'm telling you, get into the Scriptures, read the Word. Knowing God like that is not really on anybody's radar screen. It's amazing. Most Christians, they're not pursuing it. Most Christians, they're not experiencing it. But you will, because you're going to continue to go for daily intake of God's Word. How important is that? Get into the Word of God. I just want to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, and then we'll hit our fourth and final point. It says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which heaven been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Know Him. Partake in the divine nature. Receive great and precious promises. Oh, man. And I'll tell you, there's nothing this world can do to you. You will escape the corruption that is in this world. Well, dear friend, I want to finally just put it this way. Remember our question, how do I read this book, this Bible? Well, let's take a look at number four. Let me give you some how-tos, very simple. I do not want to belabor some long point and make it sound just very difficult. I think there's plenty of great tools that are out there. I'm just trying to say, let's get back into the book. That's just our goal. Daily, back into the book. Reading it, though, for some of you who have approached me and says, I'm not really even sure what I'm reading. So here's a very scaled back plan to know Jesus Christ, to really know him. Here we go. First, read one chapter or 12 minutes daily. Put your timer on your smartphone. One chapter. We talk three chapters for you who are quick readers. And I mentioned that if you read 12 minutes a day, you will have read the whole Bible through if you just spend 12 minutes a day. That's 72 total hours of reading. 72. So that would basically be 52 hours of reading in the Old Testament. And then finally, 20 hours in the New. But check it out with me. First, read one chapter from the Gospel of John each day. John is a phenomenal book and brings powerful conversations and miracles from Jesus. And he's right there saying, I am the Son of God. And this will help you understand the basics of the Gospels. And you make mention there that the books of the Bible are typically listed in the front of your Bible. Where do I find John? They'll tell you what page it is on your book. Second, read Acts, the exciting story of how Jesus Christ's first disciples told others about how he died and rose again. So read Acts. That's the church. That's what you and I are part of, the church universal. Praise God. Read that. Third, read the letters that Christ's apostles wrote to his first followers and all who were new in their faith. These letters are the books, basically, from Romans through the book of 3 John. There's 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And I didn't add Jude or Revelation, but those are the books right there. Great readings, great directions. And then basically, fourth, go back and read one of the other three Gospels. Remember, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And I asked you to start off with John, but read the other three Gospels. You might not understand everything you read in the Bible, but don't let that discourage you. It's amazing because the Bible tells us what God is like and offers us wisdom as you read it. You do want to consider a couple of things, especially as you reread the Gospels. Remember, I like to view it as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are at a street corner intersection, and they see a fender bender, boop, and they're all witnessing that fender bender and giving their oral review of what they saw. Well, I think I saw the lady with the signal. No, I didn't see a signal. They're all writing about the same event from different perspectives. That's probably the best way I could describe that. But as you just read, just a couple things to consider. What is God saying to me in this passage? That's all. Look expectantly. Is he saying anything? If not, don't worry about it. He'll bring it up and you'll be impressed by how and when he does. And then secondly, how can I apply this to my own life? Lord, what do you want me to do with it? Maybe you already are doing something, but somebody comes to mind. Somebody comes to your attention that needs that word from the Word of God. That's what we're anticipating, dear friends. We're anticipating here as the church starts to open up in-person services that people have such time spent in the Word that God will bring revelation, the gifts of the Spirit will be flowing, people will come not from their own opinion, but they'll come from a fresh word, a rhema word, that I feel God would want me to share this word, and this is how he wants us to approach a gracious God and a gracious way of living. Well, I'm so excited that you've come and enjoyed this time around the Word. We are going to continue to pursue our time with the approach of really earnestly wanting everybody to engage the Word and talk about what we're reading and see how God is bringing revelation to each and every one of us. Well, before I just send you on your merry way with a blessing, Let me just invite you who are watching right now, if you've never received Christ and you're not even sure what that looks like, it really is just a very simple, I believe he is my Savior. Would you join me now in this simple prayer? Because Romans 10, 9 and 10 says you just confess with the mouth and believe in your heart. God has raised Christ from the dead. For you, you'll be saved. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, did you repeat that with me? Let's try it. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior of the world. And right now, I make you my Savior and Lord. Dear Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. You died on the cross for me, and I receive forgiveness. Help me, Lord, to live for you. I trust you, Lord, for eternal life in heaven with you. Now, Almighty God, give me revelation and understanding of your word and what you have for me to do, all for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for joining me today and the rest of us. It's been an outstanding Sunday. We're going to look forward to being together again soon. May God bless you and refresh you in every way possible. Thank you for joining me. Goodbye. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.